Would you all please rise? As is the recent Supreme Court ruling that you can open a meeting with prayer now, I'm going to offer a short prayer, and then we're going to have Eugene lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, okay? So if you would just please bow your heads. Lord, we just thank you tonight. Pray you'd give this council wisdom to make good decisions tonight for this city and for all its citizens. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
To go to item 1.3, roll call. I see we have all our council members here except for Dan Deaver, who I visited last Wednesday. He's in rehab. He's working his way back. We spoke about city council business, and he's anxious to get back and get involved again. He does offer his best wishes to us while we continue to forge on. So, with that, I would entertain a motion to excuse Dan Deaver tonight from our meeting.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.4 on our agenda is citizen input. For citizen input section, you have anything that you want to bring before the Othello City Council, you come to the lectern, you state your name, your address, and your business. And our first member is Sean Bates.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Sean Bates. I live at 1156 East Juniper Street here in Othello. I understand on the agenda tonight that there is discussion of software for recording city council meeting minutes. And I want to bring to your attention a letter I wrote to the editor back on, it was published on 6/4/2002. Title was, It is 1984 Again. And I shared with the public that a program called For the Record was brought up on the alarm on my computer, an intrusion prevention alert. I'm trying to speed read through this. An intrusion attempt by ForTheRecord.com was blocked. Mass injection website. This would relate to .trm file extensions. And I have asked council in the past if there could be a simple recording format, Microsoft Media, something simple, MP3, and the reason is because For the Record, in the user agreement, which I blithely blew through and did not read, essentially asks you to check your civil rights at the door and to enable and allow For the Record to document every time that you visit a website, every time that you access information with your computer, and it tracks you down digitally. And I'm completely opposed to that. So I just want to bring that to your attention again, and I thank you.
Okay, thank you, Sean. Is there any other citizen who would like to speak on the citizen input portion of our council meeting tonight? Please raise your hand. Okay, hearing none. Well, Michael Crozier, you, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. I was looking at you, and your hand wasn't raised. Good.
Hello, my name is Michael Crozier. I live at 625 11th Avenue North here in Othello. Recently, I was called to take a look at a hole in the ground. And in that hole in the ground, there was a gas line that was exposed. And that gas line only has 13 inches of cover on it. And I'm not sure that you're aware how gas lines are built, so I came here to tell you this. A gas line has a main line that runs like this, and the lateral actually comes off the top of it and then goes into the house. So actually the cover on this gas line is somewhat less than 13 inches, probably about 4 or 5 inches of that little weld let thing sticks up. Now I know that because I knocked one of those off when I was a very young engineer in my life and had one of the largest conflagrations in the world out of a 4-inch gas line going on, and we had to repair it while it was still hot. My problem is that the county has load limits on its dirt roads and doesn't allow very heavy pieces of equipment to go up and down. We have a garbage truck that goes up and down those alleys, and we could just as well stick our garbage cans during the spring out on the main streets and have them picked up. And I was wondering why we don't have load restrictions on our alleys, because that garbage truck, as I understand it, can weigh between 60 and 80,000 pounds. So I was also wondering how many more places in town do we have with gas lines that are above the frost line. I think that they're required to be buried at least 30 inches around here. If you look at the American Gas Association specifications, they say that it's supposed to be buried below the frost line. And if it's not, then what happens is the pipe moves up and down as it's being heaved and everything else, and you have fatigue in the pipe, and you also have abrasion of the anti-corrosion polyvinyl chloride surface that's on the outside. And here we have a fairly large cathodic protection problem. That means you can take a galvanized pipe and put it in the ground, and in 4 or 5 years it's gone, you know. And so if we don't take into, if we're not really concerned about these safety aspects, I really like to know why that is and why we don't have some better restrictions and better inspections on installation of this thing. Thank you.
Staff or our engineering firm have a response? Or do you want to review that information and come back later with a response?
I'll do some digging on the data here and get with Cascade Natural Gas, but I believe that that's their standard for gas line. They've got it out on 24 as well that they were working on. So I'll get some data together and then I'll come back and give it to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Roger?
I'm Roger Ans. I live at 1150 East Oak here in Othello. I hear it's coming to discussion about fireworks ban being lifted. I guess I'd like to say I'm in favor of lifting that ban. I think fireworks is kind of a cool thing for family fun, family entertainment. We say the Pledge of Allegiance. Fireworks goes along with our country, the 4th of July. So I think we should just continue on with that, lift the ban, and have some fun.
Thank you, Roger. Any other citizen comment? Please raise your hand so I can recognize you. Okay. Hearing none, I'll move on to item number 2 on our agenda, approval of the agenda. Need a motion to approve our agenda tonight?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. The next item is the approval of the consent agenda. I need a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
Make that motion.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I'm going to move on to current business. Tonight, we have a public hearing regarding lifting the ban on private fireworks and the sale of fireworks. So now, please bear with us as we progress through the legal and technical aspects of this public hearing. And this public hearing is now open at 7:09 p.m. and is being held to serve to receive staff reports and public comment on the city's current fireworks ban. This public hearing is required by state law, and I will now ask staff to present their report, starting with Wade, our city administrator.
Mayor, City Council, and citizens, the mayor asked me to start this public hearing off, so I will. The staff was asked to research the fireworks regulations in the state through the RCW, which we did, and the state RCW, the revised code of Washington, clearly states that different communities can pass their own ordinances to regulate fireworks, and it is legal in the states, and it's in the state. And as all of us know, it is legal in Adams County. So with that, we looked, researched the ordinance, had our city attorney look at it, and that's the ordinance we'll be talking about tonight. With that, I'll turn it back over to the mayor.
Okay, thank you very much. The next staff report we'll receive is from the fire chief, Gary Liebacher.
Last week, I hope you all received a copy of my report. In it, I wanted to provide some information on what fireworks are, the legality or legal firework versus, if you will, the reservation firework, which are very common in our area. Reservation fireworks are legal on the reservation, and that's the only place. But it seems like they migrate all over the state and into our community as well. I believe they can be bought on the internet too nowadays. So, some general information on fireworks. The state, as Wade stated, fireworks are legal from June 28th to July 5th. And there's some stipulations on sales in there, as well as usage. So, then a little documentation on a visual aspect of what's legal and what's not. Wade also alluded to different communities have different bans or different restrictions on fireworks. We're not by means the only one to ban fireworks in the state of Washington. Several communities do throughout the state, locally and the west side does too. I was surprised with the restrictions that people have put on as well. Rather than banning, they've restricted the usages. So. And then I included the Washington State Fire Marshal's report. The 2012 report was the most current when this was put together. And it kind of breaks up some of the firework details. But I hope you all look through that. And then the Consumer Product Safety Report is a nationwide, and it goes into a lot more detail of types of fireworks, types of injuries, age groups, and looking at some of the injuries. A simple spark, but can do a lot of damage to a child. And we've all probably heard of a sparkler bomb. A sparkler would be a legal firework in the city of Othello if the ban is repealed. A sparkler we probably all had when we were young, the little metal wire that we wave around. They're pretty to watch. Fireworks are all great to watch. They do a lot of damage. A sparkler, though, probably the most common for kids. One not to mention the fire in their hand and the rapid growth of the sparkler as the fire progresses. But the metal wire afterwards seems like it's always being discarded somewhere. But now it came out with a sparkler bomb. And I don't want to really describe how to make it, but very accessible on YouTube. Find that out. Yet again, a legal firework can become a bomb. Just like that. But I also included the local history of the ban, the ordinance back in 92 when council voted on that. That's included in there. And then I got to our local stats on fires. I broke it down to fireworks cost fires from 1988 to current. And I researched as many records as I could. And I used the legal window of fireworks as well, from the 28th to the 5th. I broke it down each year. And I broke it down by district, Adams County Fire District 5, and the City of Othello. The reason I did that, I realized that you probably aren't concerned about what happens outside the city limits of Othello. However, you should be, because the firefighters that you use here in the city are the same firefighters we use in the county, the same pool of people. So whether we're busy in the city or in the county, it's taking those volunteer firefighters, taking time out of their holiday to protect and serve. You know, it doesn't matter whether it's in the city or in the county. They're busy. I also included the alarms that happened in that period of time. You can see that these alarms, same period of time from the 28th to the 5th, we're not just putting out fireworks fires. We're responding to dumpster fires because of charcoal briquettes. We had a gazebo wrapped in a power line last year that firefighters dealt with, stood by, made sure the area was clear, safe for people, until this arrived, untangled that. We had a motor vehicle accident, a motorcycle laid down, skidded down, took the fire rail out. Those are just some of the things outside the firework fires that we responded to. Fireworks are great things. They're fun to watch. They're fun to watch in an organized, safe show. We establish rules for the park display. We've got setbacks up there. We've got security working it. We've got licensed pyrotechnics, technicians shooting it. It's a safe show. We've never had an incident. Injury that I know of at the park, we've never had a fire as a result of a public display at the park. Keep in mind, that's a public display. Those are permitted, they're researched, the security is in place, everything. We always hear on the news of firework fires, fireworks injuries, things like this. It's not somewhere else. It's right here. We've had them in our area. You know, it's not Seattle, it's not New York. We've had them in our area. Firefighter in 1992 in Kennewick, Washington, lost his life on a firework-related fire. Yeah. The Tri-Cities lost a grocery store due to a firework on the roof, went up, went undetected for a period of time, burned down through, lost the store. It's not just out of the area. It happens here. We've lost garden sheds. We've lost vehicles. We've lost fence lines. Not to mention the numerous grass fires we've also had. So I encourage you to think this out. Make sure that your vote is what's best for the community and keeps us safe. Please consider our volunteer firefighters.
on this Washington State Patrol and the Fire Protection Bureau. If they have none, does that mean that they don't have an ordinance?
If they have, correct.
Okay.
If it, the on the restrictions,
yes,
or bans, correct. If they have no, none under that column, that means they're wide open. They follow state law.
So just read a few of the area restrictions and bans that are posed for, like, Ritzville, restricted, Kennewick, banned, Prosser, banned, Connell, banned. So we're not the only ones,
no,
that are in fear of something happening.
No, I think it's all more progressive, I guess, in that sense. Moses Lake is banned. We can go on with that.
Okay.
Council? John, do you have more?
I'm good, thanks.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Gary.
Thank you.
This time we'll receive a staff report from our interim police chief, Dave Ream.
Mayor, Council, we were asked to put together some data from our prospective departments. I went back through what's called our RMS system, our record management system, and looked at the amount of fireworks and infractions and compared what we have within Site OMCs. The blue line represents the number of what are called law incidents, and this is an incident where either a citizen has called in a complaint of fireworks, and we specifically have that title. It's not added in on anything else. So this is something that somebody says, hey, there's some fireworks going off near my house. We ran back to the year 2004, and the reports, you can see it, they go up and down throughout the years. It does take a steep drop after 2013 down to 2014. We've had three reports this year in 2014. It's going to go up. So that sudden drop may not be there within the next 6 months. It's going to go up. The first fireworks for 2014 was reported about 10 minutes after midnight on 1st of July. So that was, of January, I apologize. And so I think the last one was about a week ago that we had. The red line indicates how many infractions that we've issued in the last, since 2004, for possession or use of fireworks within the city limits. The large majority of the infractions that were issued were when the fireworks were being used in a public place, like the parks and where people were gathering. So it was more of a safety issue, and that's when they were issued, the infractions were issued. The bottom line that is just straight flat. The OMC provides us a bureaucracy for seizure and what to do with fireworks once we get them. Because if we were to find fireworks, the officers have their discretion on whether they're going to issue an infraction or not. Most of the time, if they're going to even give a written warning, we would even seize the fireworks. But the OMC provides a system for the citizens to petition to get the fireworks back. Looking back at everywhere I could find within the department since 2004, I can't see any citizens petitioning to get their fireworks back. So I asked our evidence custodian, Chris Fikes, what are we doing with these fireworks in evidence? The fireworks themselves cannot be kept within the building. We don't do that. We have outside storage. That's where they're kept and safe. There's a certain specific amount of time that we have to keep the fireworks, and when they're not claimed, if somebody doesn't petition to get them back, they are destroyed. We break them in half, soak them in water. And that's according to the evidence custodial log that we have right now. The calls for service or the incidents of the number of fireworks, they could have been closed or completed by the responding officer many different ways. In my experience, it's usually what we call UTL, unable to locate. We don't doubt that there was fireworks there, so when we get there, they're not going off. The other ones I'd be called as NAT, which is necessary action taken. Welcome to answer any questions you might have.
Council? Okay, thank you, Dave. Okay, as we move on in our public hearing, I'll now ask for public testimony, questions, or objections to be heard from citizens. Please raise your hand so I may recognize you. After I recognize you, please come to the microphone, state your name and address for the record, state whether you are speaking for or against the ordinance, and I'll allow up to 5 minutes for each citizen. Is there any citizens who would like to speak with regard to this fireworks ordinance tonight? Mark Spohr.
Forgot my bifocals, so I got to take my glasses off to read. My name is Mark Spohr. I live at 420 North 9th. I am not here representing local volunteer firefighters. I am a citizen who happens to be a volunteer firefighter. Being a volunteer firefighter for over 30 years, there have been many 4th of Julys myself and fellow firefighters have not spent with our family because we are out fighting fires, the majority caused by fireworks. Banning fireworks in the city is a good faith effort to reduce fires and the subsequent risk and time commitment of your volunteers during the holidays. Granted, the current ban does not eliminate the illegal practice of using fireworks in city limits, but it is a deterrent and is a useful tool in the belt to minimize the scope of fireworks and fires in our community. I would ask the current council to continue this ban for the safety of its citizens and especially for those who volunteer as firefighters. Also, I am a pet owner and know firsthand the effects of fireworks on some domestic animals, including my own. A lot of animals are literally tortured during the 4th of July holidays, not being accustomed to the various noises and explosions randomly going off. For these pets, I would also ask that the ban be kept in place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Dale Wyman.
And I live at 848 Juniper Street. I'm against the fireworks, and I'll tell you why. I love fireworks. The mayor and myself and another gentleman went through the crowd asking for donations to help pay for the community fireworks. That's how much I like fireworks, and I think we should celebrate every 4th of July with fireworks. These people, though, that put on the fireworks and the display up there are trained. They know what they're doing, or they're supposed to know. I think the mayor and council member Johnson both have that training. Did this for years. However, this ordinance is stating that you're going to sell fireworks to anybody. An adult supposedly will take his child up and buy these fireworks and then give it to him as a walk away from the stand because the stand won't sell to anyone under 18 or 21 years old. No training, no nothing. We're gonna give little Johnny fireworks. He's been taught all year, do not play with fire. 4th of July, we're gonna give him all he wants and let him go play. Little neighbor boy comes along, sees how much of a bomb we can put together with these sparklers, anything else. The last fireworks we had available in Othello, 1992. The fire department was just putting away their truck. We was lucky. The fireman was still on duty. A couple of my neighbor boys across the street was seeing how much fireworks they could put together. They'd already started one fire on the neighbor's property that day. Of an evening, everything had quieted down. Everybody was supposedly headed to bed. These two young gentlemen decided that they'd wake up the neighbors. So they threw a little sparkly thing underneath his window. Well, that little sparkly thing they made a little too big, and it bounced a couple of times, lit under the bushes on the corner. Had nice, pretty shrubs there, green ones, not so high. The neighbor seen the burst of flame going up, and it caught on fire. He called in 911, the fire department came over the hill. I don't know if Gary was with the group. Every fireman there come to the fire said that the fire they thought was a house engulfed, as large as this fire was. The neighbors and the gentleman that lived there was Dean Judd, put water on the house, and all it did was blister the paint on the house. Fortunately, it didn't burn the house down because the fire department was there in less than 2 minutes. How many times do we have the warning on the back of that package of fireworks that we so proudly sold by the Boy Scouts and patted ourselves on the back because it says safe and sane on the front? They forgot to read the back. It says not might, it says will cause fires, will cause injuries. Then we feel good because we take up a collection to help pay for the little girl in the Tri-Cities that lost her eyesight, the gentleman in Spokane that lost his hand, all of them using legal fireworks. They just had added a whole bunch of them together, which all children will do. And all they have to do is look on the computer, 5 minutes, they can find out how to make that bomb that Gary was talking about out of sparklers. I'm totally against having private sales and private use of fireworks. Thank you.
Thank you, Dale. Emiliano?
Evening. My name is Simo Martinez. I live at 930 South 3rd Avenue. As a director of American Fiesta Amistad, coordinator for quite some time now, this is a fine hobby deal. How do we take care of an issue like this? The safety aspect of it. I'm with Mr. Spore. We lost a very, very good dog a few years back because of the fireworks. I mentioned the coordinator and director of the event because anytime we announce anywhere that we're not going to have any fireworks on the 4th of July, Independence Day, what's going to happen? We are running our people to Tri-Cities or north of us or elsewhere to go out and have a good 4th of July. The safety aspect of it, good firefighters, we trust them. We've never, that I can remember, had a very large fire out here because of the 4th of July. Parents will not take care of their kids. They will not supervise. And then Mr. Weinman was stating, it says on the package, but kids will be kids. It's a toss-up, folks. But I can't myself imagine having a 4th of July without no fireworks. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Is there any other public comment tonight? Okay, at this time then I will close the public hearing at 7:33 p.m. Does the staff want to respond to the public comments or questions? Do any of the council members have comments or questions at this time?
I guess I just, it's kind of a tough issue because you can go right down to Bob's Corner and buy them, which is right next to the city limits, and you can go to other towns and buy them, and that doesn't benefit the city at all. And people are still bringing them in, and yeah, it's, you're always going to have that chance of fires, but it comes down to the parents too, you know. If they're not watching their kids, then, you know, maybe they should be getting a ticket or something. The safe and sane ones, you know, that's not like you're saying, you get them in the wrong hands and be used wrong, they're going to cause fires or injuries. You know, I can't imagine 4th of July without them either. And I know some of the ones that go off right around my house, John's house, probably everybody's house, aren't safe and sane ones that I've seen or heard. I mean, they're big, so those ones I don't agree with at all, except for in the park where professionals are putting them up.
Thank you, Martha.
I just, my comment is, in lieu of legalizing it in the city of Othello, changing a ban that's been put on since 1992, that we provide, as a city, a source for people to enjoy fireworks annually on the 4th of July. Now, I don't quite know exactly why we're trying to lift the ban this year. What I've heard is that it is to support the cost of the fireworks show that's going on the 4th of July at Lyons Park. That's one of the reasons for lifting the ban and then allowing the sale of fireworks. I think that what we should do is, instead of lifting the ban and removing, you know, the ban and then taxing or participating in collecting revenue from these sales of fireworks, that we look at just funding the fireworks period for the city of Othello every year annually for an amount of money for the people of Othello and so that they can enjoy it, because I enjoy it. I like sitting out on the patio, you know, next to my pool, watching the professional fireworks go off. I'd rather not see people running around in the streets blowing off fireworks that end up in my pool. You know, I would rather it was controlled and it was a show and it was done by professional people. So if we have an issue with continuing that, that we look at a way to make that available to the citizens of Othello, rather than lifting an ordinance that has been in effect as long as it has.
So to clarify what you're saying, John, is that you would be in favor of increasing the $5,000 allotment that we have towards the public display in lieu of lifting the ban?
Yes, I'd like to set it as a budget item for the city of Othello for the 4th of July celebration event annually. I'd like to look at it that way, rather than lifting this ban and allowing people to purchase fireworks. Okay.
Thank you. Anything else?
Well, that's it.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Corey.
That additional $5,000 for the Sun Fair. What are we going to save if we keep the ban on? What are we going to be saving from not having to send our fire department out? Because it costs us money every time they go out. So, you know, that's part of where that fund's going to come from.
Gary, some of the restrictions, the communities that have restrictions, do you know what some of those restrictions are on the fireworks? I would like to just, you know, say just put a dollar amount on each year what the council is, but this council can't tell the next council. I guess you could mention, say it better than I could, Catherine. We can't commit the next council that's up here to funds in the future for the, like the fireworks. The council could change it at any time. We may set the $10,000 for this year, but as the council changes, that dollar amount could change too.
Absolutely, the budget is at the discretion of the council.
So whatever we set now may be different in 2 years later, depending on who's sitting on council here. I grew up with fireworks. I was taught safely with them, and I had a chance to shoot fireworks off with my kids safely, and I believe done in a safe atmosphere, they are nice. The safe ones. I also had the opportunity for many years to do the public display up here too. And that's a big commitment, especially for cost-wise to maintain it to the community. It used to be funded solely by the sale of fireworks in the community. And when that ban took place, it took away that funding completely. And the group that did that, the JCs, soon after a couple of years, could not keep it together. The group basically broke up too, because that was one of their largest activities for the year too. And it's been kicked around with many other groups since then to try different fundraisers and everything to come up with funds to maintain that show up there on the 4th of July. And like Dale said, we even passed the hat around up there at the park 1 year to try to get it. We didn't raise that much, but it raised, you know, a few hundred. But, and we got to look at different ways all the time to try to help fund that. I have no problem with allowing fireworks within the city limits, done in a safe and sane manner, with adult supervision restrictions put on it. For my thought, it's going on quite a bit out there already. And I don't know if it would be a better way to control what's going on out there already. Like you mentioned, you could walk right across the city limits, go purchase fireworks, and probably half of those that are being bought at that booth are being shot off within the city limits already. I think with good restrictions, I think we can make this work. And training, and like I said, a lot of adult supervision.
I know in South Carolina with the fireworks growing up, we had them. And the time that we lived in the city, they had, in a couple different cities that we lived in growing up, military, like one of them had that they couldn't go over 5 feet or 10 feet in the air. Then the other town had it to where they could not lift off the ground, period, you know. And I'm like, Ken, I always grew up with them. Matter of fact, last summer when we went home on vacation in South Carolina, it's year-round legal down there. We bought fireworks and got on the dirt road and shot fireworks with my kids.
you know. They loved it. They loved it. It's, you know, a neat family time if it's done properly.
So I've actually had a couple families seen for the public hearing, but they approached me. And I've heard more positive to allow them. And they've said they've always, since they've have fireworks within the city limits, they've always went out of town to family members where they could. But they heard that if we do this, they're more apt to stay in town, buy their fireworks here, and stay in town during the 4th of July.
Gina?
I'm in agreement with Ken. I think that there's got to be some restrictions on things, whether we have non-lifting or a restriction on the height and adult supervision. I don't know if there's any way we can put adult supervision or an age limit on the actual setting off of the fireworks. But I'm also have been approached by a lot of people and am more positive than negative. I see both sides, but there's always been both sides. I grew up with fireworks too, and unfortunately with the fireworks stand just outside of town, I think that the ones that are buying them out there and bringing them in now are the ones that are not going to be safe with them, more than likely, and they wouldn't be safe with them either way. But maybe, you know, I don't know what to do about that, but
I certainly appreciate the comments tonight, the points of views that have been expressed. I think a couple of the comments have you know, the one is that it makes it very difficult to ban and keep a ban on fireworks in your city when they're selling fireworks on the edge of your city. And so as long as the county continues to allow the sale of fireworks, you're going to have fireworks in the city whether we have an ordinance or not. And we've already proven that. The other thing is there's some safety issues. Again, those safety issues still would apply whether they're going to buy them and bring them in here and do wrong things with them. Regardless, you've seen that. And I guess for me, as the mayor of this community, whatever this council decides, whether to lift the ban or to keep the ban, I'm going to go along with whatever they decide. But one thing that probably is the most telling for me is in this country, we have gone down this path of somebody does something stupid, so now we're going to outlaw it because one guy did something stupid. And one guy did something he probably shouldn't have done. And so we just continue to restrict and restrict and restrict. And I grew up with fireworks, like many of you in the room did. You were taught how to shoot them off. I went on like Ken Johnson did, and I was trained. I took classes. I was the chief pyrotechnician for the public display in the city of Othello for a number of years. And so, yes, I've been trained. So I love fireworks. And I think that just because there is opportunity for misuse, why are you punishing the rest of the community? Because they want to have them and they want to use them. And I've had much more comment from people who would like to see them reinstated than I have not. So that's just my opinions too, and I guess everybody up here gets to express their opinion. And is there any other further opinions? Okay. Hearing none, does any staff members want to respond or comment to the council comments or questions? Catherine.
Thank you, Mayor. And I would offer this comment from the perspective of having listened to several councils debate this very issue. I have clients who have enacted bans, I have clients who have enacted restrictions, and I have clients who have taken no action. One of the issues that I have seen raised at some of the other discussions that I think is relevant from a liability standpoint is that what you currently have, you allow the public displays. And in order to get a permit for a public display, you have to have insurance. And part of that insurance is to cover any risk of loss should there be damages as a result of the activities. So that alleviates not only the city from having any liability, but it also provides protection to any of your citizenry who might suffer damages as a result of the display. When you move from allowing the sale and use privately of fireworks back in your jurisdiction, just be mindful that if you have an incident where somebody's house is the victim of a wayward firework, that homeowner does not have an insurance company in every case to go after to protect them from the damages that they may incur. So there is kind of a balancing for the council to consider in that you are exposing your citizenry to a different risk that hasn't been there before, at least not legally. And there is a cost in providing that. And the discussion that I'm hearing tonight where you're talking about supervision, and yes, we can allow them if there's appropriate supervision and smart use, if you will, obviously, we would all like to be able to regulate good parenting, as it were, but that's not the reality. The reality is that you are going to continue to see use that, whether it's legal to possess them in the city, isn't the way the fireworks were intended to be used. And that's going to just increase once you remove the ban, because you will have an increase in use. So your odds of having risky behavior by the users will increase. So I just wanted you to be thinking about that end of it as well, because that is a real burden if you have somebody who does suffer a loss.
Thank you, Catherine. Any other staff want to comment about the comments? I guess one further thing I would mention is that fireworks are still legal in the state of Washington. And even though there's certain places and certain restrictions here, bans in other places, bans here currently, as the mayor of Othello, I'm not that interested in what they're doing somewhere else. I'm interested in what we're going to do here in Othello and what we want to do for our community. So I just remind the council that you're voting for this community. Okay. With that, I'll now close the public hearing at 7:52 p.m. And we will move to item 4.2. Ordinance to repeal and replace Chapter 5.16 titled Fireworks in the Othello Municipal Code. We've had our public hearing. We've had a lot of comment both for and against. And so now, at this time, I'd like to, the mayor would entertain a motion to approve this ordinance.
As much as I'm in favor of having fireworks right now, I would like to take a look at some of the cities that have restrictions and take a look at some of the restrictions that we could apply before we completely repeal this ban, because once we repeal it, we're opening it up. to not be able to have some of those restrictions on that we'd like to have, though.
So are you making a motion to table?
I would like to table this. I'll make a motion to table repealing this until we could research other communities with restrictions of their fireworks to see how we can apply to an ordinance for our own community.
I second that.
Okay. So tonight we have a motion to table the adoption of this this ordinance in order to further study restrictions that may or may not be contained within this ordinance.
And could that be done by the next council meeting in 2 weeks so we could make a decision at that time?
Okay. Is there any discussion on that motion?
I concur. I think that's a good idea. I would like to see what we can do with the restrictions and what restrictions are out there.
Okay. Any other discussion? John?
No.
Corey? Eugene? Okay. All right. We have a motion to table this ordinance in order for further review. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 4.3, ordinance to amend chapter 4.04, business licenses for temporary fireworks stands. With the council's permission, I'd like to remove that item because we haven't adopted or changed our ordinance yet. Okay. Is there a consensus? Okay. Let's move to item 4.4, award drilling well number 9, Terry, or is it Larry? Larry, okay.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. On May 6th, the city received 3 bids for the drilling of well number 9 project. The bids ranged from $417,960 up to $545,522, with the estimate being $533,115. The low bid was submitted by Schneider Water Services, also known as Schneider Equipment, Schneider Drilling, who's done a lot of work within the city of Othello. Rebuilt well 5, I believe they drilled well 8, put well 6 back in service, well 2. The city's very familiar with them, and they're very familiar with the wells and the aquifers in the area. We've checked references for Schneider. We've looked at the responsibility criteria as far as they're not debarred. They do have a valid license. They do have their valid industrial insurance premiums. Based on our recommendation, we would recommend that the low bid be to Schneider Water Services in the amount of $417,963.30. And staff concurs. They recommend the council award the construction bid to Schneider and authorize the mayor to sign the contract. And if there are any questions, we'd be happy to answer them. Yes, John.
How deep?
We're going to go down about 900 feet. The well actually will be 16-inch diameter, down to approximately the 400-450 mark, according to the hydrogeologists. And then from there, either a 12 or a 16-inch hole to, we think, around 900. And again, it depends upon how much water we find. The hydrogeologists feel that being east of Highway 17, we're in an area where we could see a large producing well. The port drilled one out in Bruce a few years ago, and they were pumping 3,000 gallons a minute. On the other side of that, when well 8 was drilled, I think we were around 700-800 gallons a minute. So it just depends upon where the aquifers are. There's, in theory, a cutoff wall between the two areas that are supposed to be along Highway 17. To the east of it, we're supposed to be in an area where we're higher producing range. The hydrogeologists will be on site as they're drilling, and those guys are amazing. They can look at the fractured basalt coming out of the hole, and they can tell what type of rock it is, how, you know, where it comes from, what the different types of aquifers we're in, how much water they think we can get. And then, of course, the drillers will be responsible for doing the test pumping, an 8-hour test and a 24-hour stress test, just to find out how much water is available. We, and in fact, last presentation was over a year ago. We talked about the potential of, depending upon what happens as we go deeper, we may have to put a liner in, or a steel liner in, as we get down to the bottom of the well hole. That's been set aside dollar-wise, so even if we do have to do that, we're still within the budget that was originally established by council.
So you're going to go 16-inch to 400 to 450 feet, and then 12-inch possibly below that, yeah, to 900 feet, and that will be open hole?
It's right now projected to be open hole, but if we have to put liner in, we do have a way to accommodate for that.
Okay. But that affects the price.
Yes, it does.
So the 417 is with liner or without?
That is without liner.
So that's open hole.
Yeah, we did not want to put something in that the contractor could say, oh, that's ours, we get the money for it, without actually knowing what we're going to need. Not that contractors would do that. But we just want to make sure that if there is a need for it, it's a decision that's made by the city hydrogeologists, not by the contractor.
I got a question for Spencer. You got a copy of the 2014 budget? Okay, I was just looking up there. It says amount budgeted for drilling well 9, and it just got the engineer's estimate. I think it was much more than that.
Yeah,
and I was trying to find the total budget that we budgeted for that.
The amount that was in the budget, the city budget, was $1.7 million, but that also included the equipping of the well, the pump house, the motor, electrical, telemetry, fencing around the site, engineering, inspection, city costs, the cost to get permission from ecology to transfer the point of withdrawal. So I apologize if that looks like it's a different number than it should be, but I was just looking at the construction cost there.
Okay, yeah, I just ran across there where it said the major capital projects budgeted for 2014, $2.6 million to drill and equip a new well, $265 for water tower maintenance, which we've niched this year until we get a contract. Okay.
So, Larry, that's just to put a hole in the ground.
Right.
Okay. So it doesn't include pump, doesn't include transmission lines, it doesn't include any of that. Okay.
Typically what we do is, once we know we have a well project started, we'll then come back to council to talk about the pump house. We can't really size the motor itself until we know how much water there's available. Same with the pipeline, the transmission main from the site back into town. We know pretty much the size we need, the location, but we don't want to commit to putting pipe in the ground until we know we have water there. There is a little wrinkle there, though. Terry said last week that county has approached him and said they're going to be overlaying Cunningham from Walmart east to Highway 17 this fall. And he doesn't want, and I totally understand this, doesn't want to put pipe in the ground after they've overlaid it. So we're going to be talking. We may come back and say, recommend putting in pipe out to Highway 17 or at least across Cunningham, depending upon how wide the county's going to overlay and whether we can put the pipe out of the travel lane. And In that case, we could do that before they overlay and not have to tear the road up again.
Do you have an explanation as to why the bid came in 20% less than the estimate?
Well drilling, there's a limited number of contractors that do well drilling. There's not that many wells of this size that come out that often. We've had a lot of interest from the three contractors that did bid, particularly Schneider and Blue Star, asking a lot of questions of when the job is going to come up, which to us means that they're hungry, they're looking for work, and if they're looking for work, a lot of times they'll sharpen their pencil.
Council,
any further questions?
Just curious where the pole set's going to be.
That we don't know yet.
Well, you're limiting yourself if you go 16 to 450 and then down to 12.
True.
Below, you're not going to be able to get a pole set in there of any size with a 12-inch hole. So basically, you're going to limit your pole set to 450.
Right now, the job is set to drill the full 900 or so down at 16-inch.
Okay.
It just depends upon, as we're drilling, working with the hydrogeologist and the driller, what we get to and where our different aquifer layers are, where the different water comes out. Right now, it would be great if we had a 16-inch hole all the way to around 900 with no liner, open hole in the bottom, and a 3,000-gallon-a-minute well. That would be ideal. We just don't know if we can get it yet.
Is there anything budgeted in to go deeper if needed? I mean, you got the drill rig there.
Yeah.
You're set up. You're ready to go. And, I mean, there's nothing preventing you from going as deep as you can go in the Wanapum.
Right.
So in order to get the production yield that you're requiring, you might as well continue on with everybody on site and
Absolutely.
Going. So there's a contingency in there for that.
We've set it up in the contract documents so that the contractor can, with authorization from the city, go deeper, and the city doesn't pay any sort of premium for that. We'll still be at the same bid prices.
4 linear feet of drilling?
Per foot.
Okay. And you'll come back to us?
Absolutely.
In the event that occurs and ask for additional funds to be released for that?
We put a bid item in specifically called standby time, because we know if it does take time to get answers for questions like that. And well drillers are notorious for saying, well, we're not drilling, so you got to pay us to sit and wait.
Well, you can get WSU to turn it around in less than 24 hours, the sampling. If you're working with a hydrogeologist, they just have to get the samples to WSU and get it returned. So I don't think you'll see much standby time.
We agree. Just wanted to hedge the bet just in case.
And they pretty much know where the Wanapum splits with the Grand Ron, so you'll, I mean, at that location, you probably drill 1,100 feet before you hit the Grand Ron, so.
And Ecology is softening their stance as far as the commingling between the two aquifers. In the past, they've said to the city, absolutely not. But we know from current experience, they seem to be mellowing on that, if you will. So it might be we can go down even deeper.
It's more of an availability, what's available. Okay, that's it.
Council? No? This time, staff has recommended that we award the construction bid to Schneider Water Services in the amount of $417,796.30. Authorize the mayor to sign the contract. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
We have a motion made and seconded to enter into this contract, award the bid. Any more to discussion? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Larry.
Thank you.
Item
Item 4.5, iPads for elected officials. Stan, you have a report?
Mayor, Council. We discussed in the workshop last week the fact that your laptops are 4 years old and are in need of replacement, and proposed we recommend that we replace those with iPads. And I guess we have a ask that the council allocate approximately $43.50 for the purchase of 8 iPads and the cases to go with them.
Okay. Thank you, Stan. Last year in the fall budget, the city council elected not to take this action, and now this is before the council and recommended by our IT director, Stan Anderson, to we had this discussion during the workshop, so this time I would entertain a motion to allocate $4,350 for the purchase of 8 Apple iPad Air tablets, cases, and accessories.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Stan. Moving to item 4.6, review of proposed ordinance amending Title 12 Water and Sewer. And Spencer, you have a report.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Last time we met, we reviewed Title 5 of the municipal code, reviewing it for reviewing it just to make sure it's up to date, it's consistent across titles, current with practices, and current with today's laws. Tonight we're going to review Title 12, titled Water and Sewer, and we're going to review this title for the exact same things. We've sent this title to Code Publishing for their review. They reviewed our entire municipal code, and they made suggestions to ensure that things are going to be consistent across the board. We also had legal review it, and we also reviewed it internally just to make sure that we're current with practices. Most of the changes, this is a 20-page document that I'll bring up in just a minute. Most of the changes are just updating words from things like superintendent to public works director. It just makes it more current. We have a few other changes where we're taking out verbiage and we're adding per the city book of standards, things like that. I'm not going to review all 20 pages tonight. We're not asking for a motion to approve, a motion to amend this ordinance. We're just presenting this information. I'll go through a few of the examples of the changes, and then you can have the rest of the week to discuss or to review the changes, and we'll most likely bring this ordinance back at our next council meeting for actual approval through council. So I'm going to sit down. So, can you hear me?
Good.
Yes. There's just a couple of examples of changes that I wanted to point out. Like I said before, we took things like superintendent out, and we're putting in public works director. You'll see that all throughout. Another minor change that you'll see is our utility biller is no longer in the clerk's department. She's back in finance with us. And so you'll see the word clerk crossed out and finance inserted into that slot. And that's just bringing it up to date. If we go down, let's go to the second page here. Here we're talking about charges of water during construction. We're talking about water usage only. We're updating that to include the monthly service charge and the consumption fees. Both of those things together create the water charge. Down towards the bottom of that
second page also, we're talking about permit application and inspection. Here we have a bunch of verbiage that's crossed out, and we added some new verbiage, hopefully just to make this a little more clear when someone is connecting to the city water system. Our public works director needs to have the availability, or our public works director is required to go out and inspect the work that's being done before it's covered up. And hopefully these clarifications make that a little more obvious. Just going to point out one other change here. In this paragraph, you can see most of this top paragraph up here is crossed out. And in the underlined words here, these are the sections that we're adding. We're just making reference to the Book of Standards. So hopefully that simplifies this. As we go throughout the rest of the document, you'll see things like we're crossing out superintendent, adding public works director, superintendent, public works director. We often refer to this code as the water and sewer code. There's one place in here where we refer to it as the opposite, as the sewer water code. So we're just switching those two words just to be consistent with the code. Are there any other questions specific to the code here or to the changes that we're making? I'm always available, and our public works director, if you have any other specific questions during the week, and we'll bring this code back to you for your approval, most likely at our next meeting.
Thank you, Spencer. Council, you good? Okay. Next item on our agenda, 4.7. Ordinance amending OMC Chapter 16.29, titled Design Standards. Terry?
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Tonight we bring in front of you an ordinance that we're going to ask Council to approve tonight. And basically what it is that back in 2011, we went through our design standards. It took us about a year. We adopted it in September of 2012. When we adopted the standards, we had a street section in here. You got a picture of that there? Yes, a street section here out of our standards. And our street standards don't reflect what we adopted, what's in the OMC. And we're asking tonight that council take a look at these in the OMC. And our arterials in the OMC currently, they read surface in feet, and that's actual asphalt from edge of gutter pan to edge of gutter pan. The original OMC right now, 16.29.100 street width, the surface in feet is 56, and it should reflect 60. The edge of gutter pan is right here. L represents asphalt length and width. Arterials are 60 feet, collectors are 48 feet. And from the inside edge of this gutter pan to the inside edge over here for an arterial is 60 feet. In our OMC, it states 56. And so we're asking council tonight to amend the approval of correction of 16.29.100 on the street width to match our approved and adopted city standards that we adopted in September of 2012.
Council? Do you have any questions or comments? Council? Okay. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve the staff recommended ordinance change.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Important. Motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Moving on to item 4.8, award the digital recording software. Debbie?
Thank you, Mayor. The council had already approved us obtaining proposals for a new digital recording system. Our old recording system is outdated and cannot be uploaded onto a new laptop that we'll be using. During the Washington Municipal Clerks Association conference, I met with several vendors, and then Rebecca and I attended webinars for several companies and looked at our options. We called for proposals and received two, one from AV Capture All and one from JCG Technologies. We contacted their references to find out more about their software, service, and support. The council had appropriated $3,990 in the 2014 budget for the project. The fees were outlined in the agenda memo that you received. Based upon the usefulness of the programs, their references, the costs, the annual support maintenance fee costs, and based on all of those factors, staff recommends that we purchase a digital recording software package from JCG Technologies. They will also be able to be, the recordings will be able to be uploaded to the city's website. So that'll help us with some of the public disclosure requests that we have now. We do request that council authorize the purchase of the digital software package from JCG Technologies as appropriated in the 2014 budget.
Thank you, Debbie.
Questions?
Council? Appreciate your research, Debbie and Becky. Council, we have a motion. I need a motion to authorize the purchase of this new software to record our council meetings. It's about time we moved into the new century.
I'll make that motion.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving along.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
How do you track the discount stuff?
I'm sorry.
I have my hands in the air. What is this FTR upgrade discount?
Excuse me. You're talking off microphone.
What is this FTR upgrade discount? Isn't that for the record? And didn't you just receive tonight testimony from Mr. Bates? And haven't you received, this council received testimony from me previously that we read the actual user agreement? And that user agreement allows the for the record software people to access your computer to see how many times you've accessed that file, on what occasions and what parts of that file we can. Now, we have asked this company to provide us with the user agreement, and this company has refused to do that. But we read that when we installed that on our computers about 2 years ago.
Okay.
Has anybody looked at the user agreement for this?
Okay, Debbie's gonna respond.
Yeah, sure.
First question is, what is the upgrade discount? If you calculate all those fees, they are discounting their $34.95 by $1,000 to come up with their total costs. I have not read the JCG Technologies user agreement. I have not read that. You were mentioning the user agreement for FTR. This is a different company and a different software package.
Okay, we had just received some disks, and we were told that it was put in Microsoft format, but it has an FTR file extension that requires you and redirects you to for the record software so you can read it.
Okay, I'm aware of that request, and so
let's move on.
Okay, hold on. So the city council is, or the city is going to allow you to listen here on a laptop here in the city so that you don't have to be aware or worry about that. The other option is that you can take the disc that you've been given, that this format that the city uses, and you can go down to the public library and listen to it there. But as far as having to create a brand new record for you, we're not obligated to do that. And so we're going to, I know you're making a big deal about this, but you've got software on your computer now that does the exact same thing that you don't like with this particular software or whatever software you're referring to. So,
no, what we're specifically objecting to is the user agreement for this file extension software, TRM, okay?
Okay, but you haven't even read it because they refused this particular company. You admitted you haven't even seen their user agreement.
You are totally incorrect, Mayor.
It's not.
Now, what I specifically said to you was that we had previously read it and that we asked for a copy of it and we couldn't get it. You can go to their website
right now,
you can ask them for that, and they won't produce it.
This is a council meeting. This is not your meeting. I recommend
Excuse me. This is a place for debate.
He can be removed.
Okay, let's move on to item 4.9, announcing the existing pedestrian facilities and curb ramps report.
Yes, we voted previously.
Okay, who made the motion?
And I second.
John and, yeah, okay. I'm going to read a public notice. The City of Apella will hold a public meeting at 5:30 p.m. on May 19, 2014 in the City Council Chambers at City Hall, 500 East Main Street, Apella, Washington, for interested citizens to discuss and gather input regarding the proposed inventory of existing pedestrian facilities and curb ramps throughout the community. For more information, contact Terry Clements, Public Works Director at 488-6997. Comments may also be submitted in writing to Terry Clements at 500 East Main Street, Othello, Washington, up till May 19th, 2014 at 5 p.m. The Othello City Council Chamber is handicap accessible. Additional arrangements to reasonably accommodate special needs will be made upon receiving a 24-hour advance notice. Contact Debbie Kurna, City Clerk, at 488-5686. All public meetings are open to the public, and our citizens are encouraged to attend. And this is published in the Outlook on May 8th and May 15th, 2014. Item 4.10, resolution to authorize camping in Lions Park for the MBSL Championships, Swimming Championships. Molly?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The MBSL Championships are the Mid-Valley Swim League Championships that the Council approved to have both the use of Lions Park and the Othello Community Pool for July 25th, 26th, and 27th. The Othello Barracuda Swim Team and their tournament board have put in a lot of hours to put this event together and to bring it to Othello. One of the notes that we had discussed with both the swim team board and also with our Parks and Rec Committee was the ability to provide, I guess, lodging for the different swim team members and their families throughout the event. It is expected to draw over 600 swimmers and their families. So as you may know, we have a limited number of hotels, motels, and a limited amount of lodging in Othello that's accessible for these families. And it's also close to the pool for the swimmers to be able to, you know, go in and get some rest and then also come back and compete. So the the Barracuda's board and the Parks and Rec Committee discussed the possibility of allowing camping in the park for the days of the event. And what that would entail would be an exception to Othello Municipal Code 11.24, closure of city parks. And it would specifically allow public park occupancy during the hours of 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. for the purpose of the swim meet and for the dates of the meet. It will not be allowed anywhere outside of those dates. And if you look at the resolution that's attached, there are stipulations as to what tents can be allowed in the park. After speaking with the public works director, he advised that the stakes for the tents be no longer than 6 inches, so they don't affect any of our sprinkler lines or don't do any undue damage to the facility. And we've also noted with the swim team board that we will not be responsible for overnight supervision, but we will certainly work with them to do a walkthrough to make sure everything's that they accept the conditions of the park as it is and to work with them on that. So with that, our staff and the Barracuda's asked that the City Council approve the resolution to authorize special exception to Othello Municipal Code 11.24, closure of city parks. Are there any questions?
Dulcie, do you have anything you want to add?
I don't really, but I just want to take the opportunity to thank Molly and the group that have been working with us in the planning committee for this. It's really been a good experience for all of us. It's coming together slowly but surely. I was expressing to her that we're having kind of a last-minute crunch that's coming together, but we're really looking forward to the event and looking forward to bringing some revenue into town with all the swimmers and their families that are going to be here for the event.
Thank you, Dulcie. Were you also aware the city has had an issue with the tiles on the swim pool?
Yes.
But you're aware of what we're doing, correct?
Yes, I was happy to see that there are pallets and forklifts parked at the pool.
Right.
We've been watching it anxiously. We have been in discussion with the staff about the dates, hopefully that we can get a hold of the pool. We are anticipating that it will be a little bit later than we expected, but hopefully we'll have the pool in time for our first swim meet, and hopefully we'll actually be able to have some practice before that. So,
okay. Do you have any questions of us?
I don't think I do.
Okay, thank you, Nelson. Council, do you have any questions of Molly about this resolution to allow tents in the park for this big swim meet? Okay. That, then thank you, Molly. I would entertain a motion to approve this resolution as recommended by our Park and Rec Director, Molly Clippert.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item 4.11, resolution to authorize the use of city property for the American Fiesta Amistad. Molly, do you have a report?
I do. So the American Fiesta Amistad Committee, Planning Committee, has begun preparing for the 2014 event. As you may know, the event was not in the park in 2013, but plans are in place to have it in the park this year. Preliminary plans for the event include various children's games, entertainment acts, food vendors, merchandise vendors in the parks. So the dates for the event, the setup dates would be Thursday, August 7th from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. and Friday, August 8th from 8 p.m. to 12 p.m. The Fiesta Amistad Committee has been made aware that the city will not be responsible for supervision of overnight equipment, and so they will be responsible in securing the overnight security for that equipment. But the event itself is scheduled to take place on Friday, August 8th from 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and Saturday, August 9th from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m. The Public Works will staff will help with setup during business hours on Friday, August 8th, and we will have two staff members on shifts in the park for 8 hours each on Saturday, August 9th. And cleanup would then be scheduled for the following day from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. So with that, staff recommends the City Council approve the request for the use of city property for the Fiesta, or for the 2014 American Fiesta Amistad Festival.
Council? Questions? Emil, do you have anything you want to add?
No, I think tomorrow I can talk to Molly. There are some changes on the application. I'd like to change on that.
Okay.
Okay, with changes on the application, then can we approve this, or do we need to bring it back later?
No, I don't think so.
I'm asking you, Molly.
I'm not aware of the changes, so I do not feel that I can say yes or no.
Okay.
Are we talking date changes or?
No. Actually, I agreed to the application a couple of days ago, and you got the.
Would you come to the microphone, please, Emil?
I haven't read the application completely.
That's
okay. Yeah, back for the packet for the application. It states in here the price per vendors and also the fireworks. We don't have fireworks. We had fireworks once, and that was it. There will be no fireworks, and there hasn't been no fireworks. And just a couple of items here that needs to be switched around. The wording's on it. Everything stays the same as before. So I don't see no need to come back and let the City Council members or the mayor know of the changes. It's just the wording on here that needs to be changed. And some
with regard to your event, that's what you mean?
Correct.
Okay. You're just clarifying what it is you're doing.
Correct.
Okay.
And also the pricing per vendor and so on. So it's really not necessary that we'd come back with this issue anymore.
Okay.
The Fiesta.
Are you comfortable with that, Molly?
Just to provide some clarification on that, the application that was put together was an offshoot of the vendor application that we put together for the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce. It, as an effort to make the application process a little simpler for the event organizers, it has no bearing on the city. It's not required or anything like that. It was just something to do as basically to assist the event organizers in the process, and something we provided to them. So those details can be taken care of, and they don't hold any bearing on the resolution that was presented.
Okay. You comfortable with that, Council?
Yep.
All right. This time I'd entertain a motion to authorize the resolution of the facility use and indemnification agreement for the American Fiesta Amistad.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Item 4.12, resolution to surplus fire equipment.
Thank you.
Debbie?
The proposed resolution that was in your packets includes city radios, pagers, and chargers that are no longer in use by the Adams County Fire Department. They are city equipment, though, and remain as our equipment. These cannot be narrow-banded as required by the FCC. We would like to still research options to sell the equipment once it's surplus. There could be options. We could go through Craigslist or local advertising. We just don't have a recommendation on selling them. So the resolution is to declare the equipment surplus and allow staff to figure out, to research more options about selling the equipment.
Thank you, Debbie. Is there any questions?
I got a question at Gary, because I think you went through the process of digitizing all the radios with a new upgrade that went on. Is there much use for these anymore? Could they be used in the private sector anywhere? Or?
Not currently the way they're programmed. Somewhere out of the area.
So you would kind of recommend...
There could be a
market. You could kind of recommend we should clean them first before we even put them on the market then.
Time.
Staff recommends that we adopt a resolution to surplus fire equipment. And entertain a motion.
I make a motion.
Second.
Seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business on the floor as well as the council tonight? Monday, June 2nd.
Okay, that's the memo.
June 3rd.